Good morning, everyone. It's time to pray and get start the service. Let's pray for our service today. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this church and this church body, Lord. We just ask you to bless our service. Just be with everybody that's got a part in the service. Lord, we just thank you for your promises. Thank you for promising that when two or more are gathered, Lord, you are here. Lord, we invite you to be here. We ask that you just guide our service. We just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jason had part of his message a couple weeks ago, I think it was, that don't wait, you know, share Jesus. It's our called a Great Commission. What is it? It's Matthew 28. Where is it? 19 and 20. I didn't even mark it. Come on. Actually, we should probably read 18. Then Jesus came to and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." You know, when we get nervous, to share the Lord. You know, is this appropriate? Should I say something to this person? I got in my pickup, and my pickup's got running boards on it. I got in the pickup, got up on the running board, and was holding the door, and I look right in front of me, and there's a guy with a blanket on him. And outside, down by the, I had a doctor's appointment, down by the Lord's. And, you know, our eyes just weren't right to each other. I got to say something, you know. He's right there. And the first thing out of my mouth, I just looked at him and went, "Do you have money for breakfast?" And he just shook his head, "No." And, well, that's my opportunity. That's my in. He got up out of his blanket. I guess I didn't even notice as he came over to me. I asked his name. I put my hand out and asked his name. I already forgot it, but he gave me a girl's name, and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, it's nice to meet you." And he goes, and I repeated the name, and he goes, "Oh, no, that's not my name, that's her name." I look over, and there's still a bump in the blanket. There's his girlfriend or wife or whatever is in the blanket. Oh, I was wearing a jacket, it was kind of chilly, and they're just in a thin blanket. Anyhow, I shared with him, I just started out first thing, that there is somebody that loves you more than you know. And Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus can heal all your problems. And, I was going to give him a $5 bill or something. I just reached in my pocket and just grabbed the whole thing. All I know, whether there was three fives in it, I have no idea if there was a 20 or anything else, but I didn't really care. And it doesn't matter what he does with it or they do with it. I did my part. Some people don't like to give money. They'd rather give food or give something to them, but just as long as we do our part. I could have been an angel. I could have gave money to an angel. We don't know. And so it's just better just to give. And share the Lord with them. That little seed is something that they will come to remember, especially when they, I mean, maybe that's not a hard time for them. You know, being in a blanket, I would be devastated, I think, but maybe that's not, maybe they've been through worse, but they will think of that and turn to the Lord and ask for help. And, anyhow, that's, and, you know, we're going through Israel. We get some things going on that, I don't know, kind of worry about, kind of, why do we worry? I don't know, but we do. And that was just, I was reading out of Matthew 28, but in Matthew 24, Jesus was talking about, like, the end times. But Matthew 24, 6, as you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not troubled, for there are things, or for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But I think an alarm clock just went off. And there's no time to wait. We need to share our Lord with other people. You know, and we've been talking about, it just seems like in the last month, or it just seems like we're just a lot of prayer going on, going out right now. You know, sick friends in other places. God's everywhere. You know, we can pray, and He is in Texas, South Carolina, wherever our heart is sending prayers to God, or God's going to answer our prayers, and He does. And you know, we were talking about that, how it's so good to pray, to know that our prayers are heard and they are answered. And you know, there's more to the prayer than just the what we're asking for, because our praying is not for God's benefit; it's for our benefit. Praying invites God into our daily activities. I mean, we're doing something all the time. And God enjoys being invited into our daily activities. And, you know, He answers our prayer to His will. And, you know, we learn for what God's will is for our life just by praying. God gives us the peace. That is one of the big things. I don't know. I have to pray and have that peace. I need the peace. And contentment, joy. When we open our hearts to Him, He draws us closer. It says to in Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, so what is the will of God? Praying without ceasing, I mean, we have things to do, but that is the first thing we do when we get up in the morning. When we eat breakfast, we thank the Lord. When we get out, going to leave to go somewhere, ask for protection and bless what we do, what all our hands do. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As Christians, this is how God wants us to live. Rejoicing. If you notice, what is that? 1 Thessalonians. I think I did mark that one. Yeah. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You notice there's a rejoice always, comma, there's not a period. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And so, where does that? That's what God wants us to, how He wants us to live, rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. So anyhow, let's go out there. We need to go out and spread Jesus' name. I don't know how anybody could go through this world without the Lord. People try. I've tried. I can't do it. Anyhow, let's pray and have the worship team come forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we ask you just bless the worship team, Lord, and just guide them in giving you praise, Lord. We just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
You guys are welcome to stand. I feel like this week I've just been reminded of my imperfections in my life and in the world, but I am so thankful that I have a Redeemer, that we all have a Redeemer, and He loves us and He's redeeming us in our lives. So let us lift our voices this morning as we sing to Him.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song. wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer.
Lift up our hearts to you. We want to praise your name, Lord, and that's we just thank you that we can pour out our praises to you and let our hearts just overflow with your love. We thank you, Lord, that you are all we have, and we just look at the world we're in today, and seems like it's upside down. Without you, we have no place to turn. Maybe it's in our work that seems like it's kind of upside down also. But we can just look to you because we know you have all the answers, and we just praise you for that. We thank you for even when we don't see our way, that we know that you have us and you'll guide us and you'll direct us. We just ask, Lord, you would direct the rest of this service. We just praise you today. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for your service. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jason and just ask that you bless his time up here at the pulpit, Lord, and just open our hearts and our ears. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again. One more thing with our bathroom remodel is our fireside room and nursery area is out of commission for the time being. So if you're wondering where that's at, it's because it's all blocked off. So it'll be nice when we're done, but be a little chaotic while we're getting it done, maybe. We are going through the book of Acts, and I think we are almost halfway because I think there's 26. No, 28. Never mind. We're not quite halfway. That's all right. Acts chapter 12 is where we're at this morning, and I'm going to read Acts chapter 12. We're going to do the whole chapter this morning, so if you want to join me in reading, it may not be on the board this morning, and that's okay because you can get your Bibles out. Oh, there it is. Look. You can also get your Bibles out and read it too. Acts chapter 12, starting with verse 1. It says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals,' and so he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.' So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, 'You are beside yourself.' Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, 'It is his angel.' Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, 'Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren,' and he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had filled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." So there's a lot of different things going on here. The church has been growing. They've first become known as Christians. We talked about that last week and what that name really means and what that word really means today versus what it might have meant back then. And the church has been growing and people have been coming to know the Lord. The gospel is being spread and shared. And now here comes Herod. Herod Agrippa is who it was, onto the scene, and he was beginning to harass some from the church. Now, why would he be doing this? Why would he care? He had no interest in God, and so he didn't really care because of that. The reason, maybe one of the reasons that he was doing this is because he did care about his relationship with the Jewish leaders. Maybe with the religious leaders of that day, because they were still there and they had quite a bit of power. And so he was trying to harass the church to try to keep his good standing with the Jewish leaders. This was his whole reason for doing this. And so one of the first things that he does is he has James, the brother of John, which are known as the sons of thunder, killed by the sword. So why is he doing this? To gain more favor with the religious leaders of that day. He has James killed with a sword. And then it says, because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, he was doing this right during some of their celebration times. And so also not wanting to disrupt their, what did it say it was? Their days of unleavened bread, and then Passover was coming. He didn't want to mess with that, because if you mess with that, you don't gain any more favor with the religious leaders, because they're all going to keep these holidays that they have or these celebrations that they have. And so he puts Peter in prison. And so as I'm reading through this, and we'll go into what happens to Peter, he's kept in prison. James is killed. Peter is not killed. He's just put in prison. And so right away, here comes the question. Why? Why is James killed? Why is Peter put in prison? I'm sure that people would have been asking that. And I look at our lives today, and there's a lot of times that we don't understand why things happen the way they do. And so we start to ask, and we start to ask God, why? Why does this happen to this person, but not to that person? Why did James have to be killed, but why is Peter just put in prison? Why? In our lives, why do some people get sick and why do some people not? Why do some people have to die young and why do some people not? And we ask these questions, and I don't think there's anything wrong with asking these questions. I really don't. I think it's healthy for us to ask, and to, because what it does is it maybe can create a conversation with God. Why is this happening to me? We always, that's a question we all ask. We always ask this question. Why that person? Or sometimes it's why me? Why do I have to go through this? We live in a world that is broke. That's the only answer that I can give for that, is we live in a world that is broken and marred by sin. And we don't have control over those things. What we do know is we do know that God is still in control. So then the question is, well, why does God allow these things to happen? But for us, for me, and what I'm starting to understand is it doesn't always have to make sense to me. All is that I need to do is, yes, I can ask the question, why? Why was James killed? Why was Peter just thrown in prison? But what I also need to do is to trust in the one who does know the answer to the question, why? And so as we ask questions about things that happen in our lives, and as we ask questions of why do bad things happen to good people, or vice versa, I don't care how you want to say it, why, but at the same time, do we really, truly, honestly trust in the one who does know the answer to that question? And one of the things that I know is that God is interested in bringing glory and honor to himself. He is interested in bringing people to know him. So we may not see the reason, or we may not ever have the answer to these questions of why certain things happen to certain people and not to other people, but we do know who God is, and we do know and trust that God is good. And we do know that we can trust him. Or do we? I think that sometimes we know in our mind that we can trust him, but I think we lack it in our actions. And sometimes it's really hard to grasp that. I want to read Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 8 and 9 is what I'm going to read this morning right now. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do we trust that the creator of the universe, the savior of our soul, do we really truly trust that he knows what's best? Because while we're asking these questions, why do these things happen? At the same time, I also want to be trusting in what Christ has said and the promises that he has given me. One of them being, he's not ever going to leave me or forsake me. And we can lean on that. We can lean into that. We can rely on that. And we can know without a shadow of a doubt that that is true. Regardless of why James was killed and why Peter was thrown in prison. Or whatever the situation is in your life. Because there will be, and if there hasn't been, there will be situations in your life that are going to make you wonder, why did this have to happen? But rather than focus as much on that, I hope in my life that I can focus more on the fact that I trust the one who does know. Where are you at today? Do you trust the one who does know, or do we think we need to try to figure all of these things out in our own mind? Because I don't know if that's possible. Sometimes we get to see the effects, or we get to see the reason why certain things happen, and other times we don't. Do we still trust the one that is in control? Now, as after Peter was arrested in Acts, I thought it was really interesting that Herod is going to wait till Passover is finished and over before he brings Peter to the people. But in verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. There's a verse in, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, that says, pray without ceasing. And I often have thought, how do you do that? Because you can't get anything else done if you're praying without ceasing. That's not what that means. I think we can pray constantly. I think we should pray constantly. Just because Peter went to prison and these other believers, knowing that James had already been killed with the sword, you know what's going through their mind. Herod's not going to let him go. Herod's going to kill him. But they didn't stop praying. And I think a wonderful and beautiful reminder for us today is we don't ever stop praying. We keep praying regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what happens, regardless of whether we're asking why this has to happen. We keep praying because we trust and we know and we have confidence in the one who does know. So the day before Peter was to be brought, the angel, he's sleeping in prison, and he's got guards everywhere, two of them right beside him. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, Peter, get up. Get your shoes on. Get dressed. We're leaving. And he gets up, and the chains fall off his wrists. And we just read what happened. Put your clothes on. They went out. They went past the first and the second guard, and they came to the gate that leads to the city, and the gate opened of its own accord. That's cool. That's pretty exciting. And Peter, this whole time, he's probably pinching himself, trying to figure out if he's awake. Because it says he thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't think this was actually happening. Until he got out on the street, and the angel was gone, and he's still on the street. He was out. The angel had led him out. And Peter says at that point, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel. And we have things that happen in our lives, and we have miracles that happen in our lives, and sometimes we just write it off as a coincidence, or we kind of think, well, that was cool, that happened, that was pretty neat. But do we recognize that now I know for certain that the Lord has blessed me. Now I know for certain that the Lord is the one that's been leading me and guiding me. Are we willing to acknowledge that, as Peter did right here? When he got out on the street, he finally realized he wasn't having a vision. And the first thing he says, now I know, It was God that got me out of here. Psalm chapter 34, verses 4 through 7. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Even when we don't think that God is seeing or hearing or knowing what is going on, I will assure you that he does know what's going on, and he is encamped around you, and his hand of protection is over you. And sometimes that looks different than what we think it should like. Thus, we start to ask, why? But do we still, in the process of asking why, do we still trust in what he's doing? Do we acknowledge that God is the one that delivers us? It's only by God's grace that we do anything. Now I know for certain, are we willing to say it? Are we willing to speak it aloud? Are we willing to thank him for his protection? Do you do that? Do you make a practice of doing that? And I'm not just talking about thinking it in your mind. I'm actually talking about speaking it out loud. When something happens, and we sometimes will be working and we can't figure something out, and for some reason, about the second or third thing we try is to ask the Lord to help us figure it out. I don't know why we wait so long. But then it works. What's the first thing you do? What should the first thing you do? Thank you, Lord. Out loud. Say it out loud. I will never forget my grandpa getting used to hearing his own voice, and he'd do it out in the middle of the field. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do we do that? Do you do that? Do it. Try it. Try it. Who cares if there's anybody listening? Because we know, now I know for certain that it was God that helped me. Thank you, Lord, for the answer to that. Try it. Do it. It's exciting. It'll get you excited, if nothing else. So Peter gets out, and he goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. And I like this part right here, because he starts knocking on the door. And Rhoda answers. She came to the door. I don't think she opened the door, because I don't know if they would just open it like what we would probably try to do today. But she recognized the voice of Peter, and she got all excited. And she ran back in and left Peter at the door. I just think that's kind of funny. And then she's trying to explain to them that Peter's at the door when she could have just opened the door and brought him in and proved to them that he was there. But no, she's trying to explain to them that he's there when he is there, but he's still outside knocking on the door. So, of course, I can't help but think of the verse in Revelation. Revelation 3:20 that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Where are you at in your life? If God is knocking on the door of your heart and you recognize who it is, but you don't let him in, and instead you go try to tell somebody else about him, but have not experienced him for yourself. This is what this reminded me of. Because Rhoda runs into the house all excited that Peter's here, explaining to them, "He's at the door, I heard him at the door." And they're like, "No, you didn't. Where is he? Got to be his angel." Now, there was certain time things that they believed that they maybe saw the angel of a person after they had passed away. That was a common thought during that time. But Peter was actually there. But she was trying to explain something to them that she had the opportunity and the option of bringing and experiencing for themselves. So when Christ is knocking on your heart's door, and he's asking you to make a decision to receive him or accept him, have we opened the door? Let's not leave him at the door knocking. Let's experience the love and the forgiveness of Christ for ourselves. And then how much more powerful of a testimony do we have to share with other people? Because that's what we've been doing. I've been hearing a lot of that lately. What are we waiting for that I talked about a few weeks ago? And I'm excited to see what God is doing and how God is using some of these things, because I feel like my purpose for being up here is to encourage you guys as well as myself to go out from here and to tell people about who Jesus is. But if we haven't opened the door to let Christ into our heart, how can we go tell somebody else about who he is when we haven't experienced him for ourselves? Don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity to open the door and let Christ in. Because only after we have experienced the saving grace, the forgiveness of Christ, can we then share even more powerfully what his love has done for us. Have we opened the door to Christ? Finally, Peter continues knocking, and he keeps knocking, and they come back to the door, and they open the door, and they're all amazed. They're all surprised, because they didn't believe her, because if he would really have been there, she probably would have opened the door and let him in. They didn't believe her. They came and opened the door, and they were amazed. It says astonished that it was actually Peter. But Peter talks to them, and he tells them just a couple of things, and then he leaves. And part of the reason that he probably leaves is if somebody were to follow him or find him, he didn't want them to be led to where the people were still praying. See, he went to a place where the people were still praying for him. And so while they're praying for him, he's knocking on the door. I just think that's interesting. While he's still praying, while these people are still praying for Peter to be released from prison or whatever the Lord's will would be, I don't know how they were praying, he's knocking on that very door to come and tell them, hey, it's all right. The Lord, now I know, the Lord's the one that delivered me from this. But he didn't stay there. Then he went on. Now, you can imagine what would have happened the next morning at the jail. It says there was no small stir. That's putting it very lightly. Because there was chaos the next morning when Peter was gone. Herod was ready to present him before whoever it was, and he wasn't there. And Herod wasn't known for being the nicest of people. And so he talked to the guards, all of them, however many there were. And they all died that day because of something that they couldn't control. But it's also because of something that they were trying to do on their own. And there's a lot of times that we try to do things on our own, and it doesn't work very well for us. Do we trust the one who knows what he's doing? And I'm talking about Jesus. Do we trust that he knows what he's doing? Do we trust that he knows what's best for us, for my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Praise the Lord for that. So as we move on just a little bit to finish up this chapter, move over into verse 20. And it talks about Herod being angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now, the people of Tyre and Sidon were free and self-governing. However, they were economically dependent on Judea. They needed King Herod's approval or help or whatever you might say, because in order to get food and supplies that they needed. And so they are trying to figure out how to maybe get on his good side or whatever. So they befriend his personal aide, whose name was Blastus, however you say that name. And so finally, the king decides he's going to speak to them. So Herod, on the set day, dresses up in his kingly apparel, and he's going to address the people of Tyre and Sidon. And these people are willing to tell him whatever he needs, wants to hear, because they need this connection with him to get the things that they need. And so he is talking. It says he sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And here's where it gets really weird. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man. And I will just tell you, that is a very, very dangerous spot to be in. Because Herod could have changed that dynamic right there. Easily could have. If he would have simply acknowledged that he was not God, he did not deserve the glory and the honor, but he didn't. He received it for himself. He received for himself what is only due to the one true God. He didn't deserve that. He didn't need that. That was not for him. And people were giving it to him, and he did not correct them. And he was taking credit for things that there's no reason and no way that he should have taken credit for them. And this is a little bit graphic. But then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms. And he died. That doesn't sound like fun at all. But also, I believe it's here to help us to imprint in our minds a point. Let's give God the glory. Now I know for certain that it was God that delivered me. Let's give glory to God to whom it's due and not take any of this credit for ourselves because we don't deserve anything. The only reason that we are here is because of God's grace and God's mercy for us. Psalm 115, I just want to read the first verse. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth." Not unto us, but we want all the glory to be given to you. We want all the glory for the things that happen in our lives to be given to God. And so when we verbalize something that has happened, we say, "Thank you, Lord," and we say it out loud, and there's people around us. Everybody around us knows, even the enemy knows, that we have just given glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That's very powerful. God immediately struck him down because he did not give glory to God. There's a couple more verses I want to read before we are done. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." How do we know and experience? How do we open that door when Christ is knocking? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." How do we open that door? We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he will come in and he will live with us and he will dine with us and we will dine with him. And that's exciting. That's why we are here. That's what our purpose is for being here. Is then to receive that and then to pass it on to other people. Another verse here in Acts that says, after Herod had died, he was kind of the one that when we started it said had been harassing the church. With him out of the way, it says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." That was the resistance at that time. God removed Herod from the picture because of what he did. And then the word of God grew and multiplied. Isaiah, again, chapter 55, a couple verses farther down. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word will not return void. This is part of the reason that I do like to read quite a bit of scripture on Sunday morning, because it's reading the word. I want to end with a couple verses out of Jude. Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. There's only one chapter in Jude. It says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." This is the God that we serve. This is the glory. This is the type of honor that he deserves. And that is not our place to try to take that. That is not our place to try to take credit for any of that. Give glory and honor to God. And if we're questioning what God is doing, don't forget to trust him at the same time. We can question, that's all right. But don't forget to trust. And then when things happen, whether the way we want or whether the way God wanted, we give glory to him. And we say, "Now I know for certain that God has delivered me." Stand up with me if you would, please. Father, thank you so much for your love this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, even for interesting passages that are here, Lord. And sometimes we wonder why they're there, but help us to remember. Help that to stick in our mind, so that we know to give you all the glory, to give you all the honor. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in our community. We do pray for each person as they leave from here. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have boldness to share, have boldness to verbally, out loud, give you thanks and praise for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, for your love. I pray that you would guide our week. Pray that people can see you living in us. In your name we pray, amen. You guys can be dismissed.